Praise the Lord for the riches of His grace that because of the Lord Jesus that our sins can be forgiven and we can become a child of God, a member of His family. We can serve Him. We can bear His name. Today we are in 1 John chapter 2. Continuing our studies on 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is our advocate with the Father. Now, an advocate is someone who speaks for someone else. And of course, in this situation, this speaks of Jesus, who is our lawyer, who represents us before God the Father. But thinking of the importance of an advocate, heard the story recently of a doctor whose daughter, grown daughter, was in the hospital. And this doctor was talking about the sad situation that because of COVID-19, that patients were in the hospital alone. And he was emphasizing the fact, this doctor, that the family members of a patient are there to be their advocate. And it's such an important thing. And I remember, and this doctor talked about the fact that his daughter was in the hospital because of a pregnancy situation. And he came into a room, and the nurse was giving her some kind of a medicine in her IV or whatever. And said, what is that? And she showed him what it was. And he says, this is not for my daughter. My daughter doesn't need this. And it turns out that the medicine that she was giving this doctor's daughter was medicine that was supposed to be given to the patient next door in the next room. And this doctor was just mentioning how, what a sad situation is, you have all these people have been in the hospital dying alone, no one there. And besides that, no one is there as their advocate. I remember when my father was in the hospital, one of the things on the orders was, don't give him baby aspirin because he had an ulcer. And those aspirin just agitated the ulcer, started, caused it to start bleeding. And so the orders were right on the papers, do not give baby aspirin, if I remember correctly, the story correctly. And so my brother went into the room, and while he was there, they were giving my dad baby aspirin. And he said, no, no, you're not supposed to be giving them baby aspirin. And, of course, they had these, they have so many pages of orders that it'd take a rocket scientist to figure out what you're supposed to give them and what you aren't supposed to give them. But the importance of family members are the advocates for the patient. and they're speaking for them, and they're watching out for them, and they're representing them in the hospital. Somebody has to be representing them that they get the right care and the right medicines, and things are turning out right. Well, the Bible tells us in this passage of Scripture that Jesus Christ is our advocate. He speaks on our behalf before God the Father. You know, when someone commits a crime or is accused of a crime, or whether it's right or false, depending on the crime, the key for that person is to have the right lawyer, someone speaking up for them. And, you know, there's a popular lawyer that's a Harvard Law professor, and he is well known for having represented O.J. Simpson and representing Epstein. And, you know, it just kind of, it bothers me that these people are speaking on behalf of these very wicked people. But I guess if you're a bad, bad criminal, you're going to have a really, really good, bad lawyer. I think that's how it goes. You have to have, but you know, we think in Baptist history, we think of the Baptist preachers in Virginia being put in jail for preaching the gospel because the Church of England, who controlled the religion, was against the gospel. And we think of Patrick Henry as a lawyer standing up for the Baptists and representing the Baptists. And we think of how important it was that these men of God had someone who was speaking on their behalf before the judge. And, you know, when you hear that about Patrick Henry, it just puts in your mind such a good impression of him. And you have such a good thoughts about him, that he was an advocate for the people of God in the time of persecution, and that there were very few people who would represent this small minority of lovers of the gospel and the truth. Now, here in 1 John, in this text that tells us about Jesus Christ being our advocate, it tells us the seriousness of the situation, the fact that you would need a very good advocate. You need the best advocate possible. And it's introduced, the importance of this advocate is introduced in the first statement when he says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." Now, in 1 John, we find that one of the key phrases in the 1 John is that phrase, "These things write I unto you." The purpose of the book, you'll see that repeated a number of times. Chapter 1, he said, "These things I write unto you, that your joy might be full." And so 1 John, one of its themes is that the Christian might walk in sweet, intimate fellowship with God the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the people of God who are having fellowship with God. and that the result is fullness of joy. Reminds us how Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And the Christian life, the joy of the Christian life is not a manufactured joy. It's not a joy in things or possessions. It's the joy of having a sweet relationship with a holy God and with the people of God who are walking in a holy life. And that's real joy. Now, in chapter 2, he tells us, and in context to that, he says, I'm writing these things that you might not sin. That you might not sin. Now, of course, we are reminded the first phrase, my little children. This is the phrase, my little born ones. And as the gospel was written so that people would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 1 John is written to those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are born at that instant, at that moment, into the family of God. No, it's not like these modernists. It's not like these new time liberal Christians that speak of progressive conversion. And as time goes on, you know, you somehow, you know, progress into being born again. That's why at these mega churches, the people, you ask them, have you been born again? Well, they'll say, I'm working at it, or I'm in the process, or whatever. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, but as many as received them, to them gave he him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God, a new birth by God, born into the family of God. And those who truly believe on Jesus Christ, the moment that they believe the Bible way, by putting their trust in Jesus Christ, turning to him in faith and repentance, at that moment, they're born into the family of God once for all. Amen. Now, they're the little children. They're the little born ones. They've been born into the family of God. Now, what's it say about these little children? He says, these things I write unto you that you sin not. Now, we don't want to miss that point. He said, I'm writing to you that you sin not. You know, a good parent doesn't want their children to sin. They don't want their children to do wrong. They don't want them to go the wrong way, to do the wrong things. They don't want them to sin. And the scripture says, the Apostle John says, for these baby Christians, I write these things that you sin not. You know, just as we said, you commit people who are in a situation where the punishment for their crime is pretty significant, whether it's $1 million or life in prison. Well, they better get a pretty good lawyer to stand up for them. Well, the apostle is introducing the subject and by saying, you know, sin is a serious thing. This is no light thing. This isn't no problem. God forgives. And no, that's not what this is talking about. Sin is a very serious thing. Sin is a serious thing. It's against a holy God. And notice this book is talking about the seriousness of sin. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. It tells us that sin is really serious. It isn't some flippant little thing. It's serious. In 1 John 3, 4, it tells us that sin is rebellion against God. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses the law. breaks the law of God. For sin is the transgression of the law. It's lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. It is a breaking of God's law. It's a spirit of rebellion against God. It's man doing what he wants in direct contrast to what God wants. You know, a shocking thing is for a parent to tell a child to do something and then to find out they did the exact opposite. It's a shocking thing to think that I told them what to do. I made it clear what they're supposed to do. And they didn't do it. They just willfully chose not to do it. Well, that's what God says. Sin is serious. It's rebellion against God. Adam and Eve rebelled against God. That's the heart that we are born with, a heart of rebellion against God. It is no little thing. How'd you like to stand before God, a holy God, and you did exactly opposite of what God said? You have to answer to him. Well, need an advocate before God, because God is holy and he is just, and sin cannot stand in his presence. And so he says, I write these things, so don't take sin lightly. Oh, I can confess my sins. No, it's missing the point. It's missing the point. The reason that we have to have this advocate, and the only one who will qualify as our advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous, is because of the seriousness of sin. And so remember what Jesus said in his day. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they rejected him. And what did he say? He says, you know, the reason you reject me is because my word has no place in you. My word has no place in you. And it's talking about the authority and the message, the truth of the Bible rules in the heart of a person that is right with God. And there's where the battle is. Notice in 1 John chapter 5 what else it says about sin. In verse 17, it says, all unrighteousness is sin. You know, how do you understand that? I think it's understood by the fact God is perfectly righteous. And anything that doesn't match up to that is unrighteousness. And we sometimes it's a matter of a comparison. You know, the teacher says to the student, look at here. Your paper is messy, and you have things crossed out, and things are misspelled. Now look at this paper here. This person has everything nice and neat, and the answers are underlined, and the words are spelled correctly. Notice the difference. Well, that's the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. All, the Bible says, all unrighteousness is sin. This sin thing is a serious thing. And the Bible says that God's will is that we don't sin. Now notice, the Bible also tells us that this thing about sin, that's serious. Because sin has a limit. Verse 16 of 1 John 5. It says, if any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Now, you know, there's not, we don't totally understand this, but the Bible tells us that sin has a limit. There is only so far that God will even allow his children to go, and then he says, that's it. We know in the Old Testament that there were plenty of illustrations of people who sinned unto death. We know that Nadab and Abihu went into the Lord's house probably under the influence of liquor, and they had kind of a free-for-all in the worship of God, and God took their life. There was a sin unto death. We think of during the Moabites and the women of Moab, and how they were inducing the children of Israel. And one of the leaders of Israel had the daughter of one of the leaders of Moab, and they went right in their tent, right in front of Moses. They had no shame of their sin at all. The servant of the Lord went in there. I believe it was Phinehas or Eleazar, and thrust a sword through both of them. And God basically said, praise the Lord. The plague has been stopped. You know, there's a point that a limit to sin. And so don't play with sin. Sin will always take you further than you ever planned to go. Sin will do more to you than you ever planned it to do. Sin has a limit. He says, these things have I written unto you that you sin not. And sin is a big thing because sin breaks fellowship with God. Sin breaks fellowship with God. Now, you know, one of the real points of how close a person is to God is what it is that they think breaks fellowship with God. Some people that are far from God, they only think big things break fellowship with God. They don't think like skipping church or not reading their Bible or telling a white lie. They don't think that that breaks fellowship with God. But the Bible says all sin breaks fellowship with God. All sin is a big thing. But a person who's close to the Lord, they just have a cross word and they get under conviction. Or they have a bad thought and they come under conviction. Or they shortchange their devotions. Or whatever it might be, they're very tender-hearted because they know even little sins break fellowship with God. And so in this whole context of the fact that the believers have an advocate, Jesus Christ, we are reminded of the fact that sin is a very serious thing before a holy God. And in 1 John chapter 1, that's what the emphasis is. It says, this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. And a person's understanding of God and understanding of sin is truly based on the fact, do they really know who God is, how holy God is, and what is it that is sin? All unrighteousness is sin. And of course, there are such horrible sins of an attitude of rebellion against God that says, I won't do that. I won't follow the Lord. I won't witness. I won't tithe. I won't have respect. I won't, etc. Boy, that person needs a really strong advocate to stand before God. That's for sure. And so, as the Apostle John speaks about our advocate, he speaks of the great importance of our needing of an advocate because we are sinners. And sin breaks fellowship with God. And we need to have someone that will represent us before a holy God because there's no other means for us to stand before God other than the blood of Jesus Christ. And so in that context, he says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, if any man sin. Now, notice it isn't this idea that, okay, you know, sin's fine, no problem. No, it says, don't sin. Now, if you do, though, we have an advocate. Now, it's like what the Apostle Paul said in Romans. They said to him, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he said, no, 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 never let that be. God forbid. Notice the right perspective here about sin. Don't sin. That's serious stuff. But if you do. Now notice the whole book is painting a picture that the life of a believer is not one who pursues sin. The life of a believer is in a battle against sin. And if they are overtaken and we do sin, we have an advocate. But notice the picture. Far, far different than the world in which we live. The Christianity of the 21st century that really makes a mockery of the grace of God. Who makes a mockery even of this type of this premise, of this treatise. No, it's don't sin. Don't sin. Don't be a person who is out there doing what they want to do. No, that's not compatible to Christian life. But if we do sin, and we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so here's the picture, a holy God, God the Father. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You know, when you stand before a holy God, we really get the right view of the sinfulness of sin. Like the illustration I was using, that child who does a sloppy job on their homework and they don't write nicely and they don't care if they misspelled words or they don't care if they do a good job. You know, on its own, that's not such a bad thing. It's okay in their mind. But when the teacher compares that to somebody else in the class, another human being, another student, their own age, who does it correctly with the right spirit, And if that person has any conscience, they see the comparison, and what they used to excuse, now they see as unexcusable. It's unexcusable to be like that. Well, when a man stands before God, we can excuse ourselves before one another, but to stand before a holy God, it is unexcusable. And the Bible gives us this great encouragement that we have an advocate. Now, I think it'd be good to look in the Bible to see a couple illustrations of the example of an advocate. Turn with me in your Bible to Exodus 32. Moses has been on the mountain with God, communing with God. God has been giving him the law, the word of God. And I was up there 40 days. And, 40 in the Bible is a number of testing. And the people were tested. They said, we'll do whatever you say, God. And they couldn't wait 40 days. And so they said to Aaron, make a golden calf and we'll worship this calf. We don't know what happened to Moses and these commandments and et cetera. And notice Exodus 32, verse 8. And they have, God says to Moses, verse 7, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, and let my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And God is saying, okay, kind of get out of the way, Moses. Don't be an advocate for this people. Don't stand up for them. Just stand aside and I'll wipe them out. And then I'll take you and your children and I'll make a great nation out of them. It says, I'm looking for somebody who will serve me. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, and to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give it unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he had thought to do unto his people. Here was Moses, an advocate for this people, standing before a holy God and pleading for the people of God. What a tremendous example of the importance of an advocate, someone speaking on our behalf. Us rotten, miserable sinners, weak and failing, need someone to stand on our behalf. And of course, Moses was that great example of an advocate. And of course, the same thing happened in Numbers 14 when the people rebelled against God and went going to the promised land. There was Moses pleading with God on behalf of the people. Moses is a good representation of the importance of an advocate, someone who will stand up on the behalf of the people of God. And the Bible tells us that the believer today has the greatest advocate that ever could be had to stand before God the Father. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The Bible tells us that Jesus stands before us, before the Father, and tells the Father, yes, those people, they have repented of their sin. They've trusted me as their Savior. They've called upon me. They've given me their soul and their sin. And my blood has washed away their sin. They're my people. They're my children. And they're standing before God to forgive us of our sins when we confess them. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. We aren't worthy of being forgiven, but we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ, who's pleading our case. Yes, you can forgive them because they have repented of their sin. They have received me as their Savior. They have counted my blood. My blood is upon their soul. They are my children. And so we have this great advocate. And the Bible tells us the reasons that he is so great is because he is obviously, he is the Christ. He is the chosen one from eternity past. He is God the Son who took on human flesh that he might die on our behalf. He is the perfectly righteous one. He can stand in our behalf because he is the righteous one. And because he is the righteous one, the one without sin, he could pay our penalty. And it gives us his credentials. It says, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And of course, the word propitiation is that word satisfaction. Satisfaction. The satisfaction of the penalty of the law was completely filled when Jesus hung on the cross and darkness was upon the face of the earth. He bore our sins. And when they were completely born, he said, it is finished. The payment of our sin was made by Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us. He is the one who stands before the Father. He is the one who is able to stand because our sins have been paid for. The Bible says he is the propitiation for our sins. Now, if you have a mortgage and you have 30 years of 12 months of payments, after all those 360, is that right, payments, they will put on that mortgage satisfied. Mortgage satisfied, paid in full. Everything that was owed was paid. The debt was satisfied. And so the Lord Jesus on the cross paid the penalty, all the penalty for man's sins. And it is so important that men today realize that the payment has been made in full. You cannot add to it. You cannot do something better than that. How sad it would be for some person to stand before God the Father and say, you know, God, I believed in your son, but you know, you need to see I did all these good works, and certainly these good works are going to earn me a place in heaven. And what a mockery, a blasphemous thinking that would be for that person to stand before God and to basically deny that Jesus was the propitiation for all our sins. To think that they weren't all paid. To think that it wasn't good enough. That the Son of God leaving heaven's glory and taking on human flesh so he could die, that wasn't good enough. That man could do something better that could add to that. And that is what most man-made religion is made of. Adding something to what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And the Bible says, all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags, to present our righteousness as a means of having our sins forgiven and enter into heaven is blasphemous. To think that we would call the death of Jesus not adequate, not fulfilling perfectly all the wrath of God. And so that gives him the right to be able to stand before God and say, that's my child. He's accepted me. I've covered all their sins. I paid the penalty. The blood is on their soul. You can forgive them. And certainly, in a broad sense, they are a part of my family. They are welcomed to heaven. Our advocate, Jesus Christ. You know, sin is serious. It's really serious. And no bad man would want to stand before God with their sin, because sin is serious and God is holy. And it's nothing that a believer would take lightly, because you know the Bible says that Jesus Christ was manifested to take away our sins, not to give us a license for sin, not so we could continue in sin. And a person comes to Jesus Christ, he comes to have them take away their sins, not merely the penalty of their sins, but he comes to have them take away their sins. They're sick of their sin. They're sick of their rebellion. They're sick of their evil heart. They need a Savior. And so this sin thing is a serious thing. It's what sent Jesus Christ to the cross. And the Christian is one who's growing out of his sin, trying to progress forward out of their sin. They're not willfully going after sin. And it says, but when we sin, we have this advocate, the perfect advocate, the person who has every right in the world to stand before God and plead our case, and that we can have forgiveness of our sins because of him. We've accepted him. And of course, this is what the whole world needs. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know, there's salvation in no other name other than the name of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus died for man's sin. He is the only one. And the message of the redemption that is in Jesus Christ needs to be spread through all the world. There are so many people right here in Maquonago that are trusting their good works. If they believe in God and they hope to get to heaven, 90+% of them are probably trusting that they might do enough good works to get to heaven. No, only those who look to Jesus will be saved. He's the only one that can forgive them. It's a free gift that comes only through Jesus Christ. Now, think of you today standing with your sin before God, a holy God. No one to plead for you. Only you're able only to plead for yourself, and you have nothing you can say in your defense. You need an advocate. And there's only one who is qualified to be your advocate before God, and that is Jesus. And he's only can be your advocate if you will receive him as your Lord and Savior. You know, Jesus said, he that is ashamed of me in this sinful and adulterous generation, him will I also be ashamed before the Father and the angels in heaven. You know, there's many people today, they're ashamed of Jesus. They're more interested in what their friends say. They don't care what Jesus says. They're ashamed of Jesus. They're more interested they're ashamed of Jesus. They wouldn't want to dress like a Christian in front of their friends. They're ashamed of Jesus. There's people who are ashamed to carry their Bible. There's people who are ashamed to stand up for Jesus Christ in this day. Think of that. But you know what? What about the day of your death? And you were ashamed of Jesus. You wouldn't receive him. You wouldn't take him. You wanted to fit into the crowd. You didn't want to have your buddies at work make fun of you because you're a Jesus freak or a Bible banger. But when you die and you are ashamed of Jesus, you won't have an advocate before the Father. You'll be standing there alone with your rotten and sin, your rebellion against God. You'll have no advocate. You'll be lost. You'll be alone. And as Jesus said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. But praise the Lord, if you're saved and you've trusted Christ, we have an advocate with the Father who represents us perfectly. And God the Father hears his intercession, hears his speaking on our behalf. And just like Balak wanted Balaam to curse the people of God, God wouldn't let him. And God told Balaam, he says, those are my people, I love them. I'm not going to curse them, I'm going to bless them. And just think of the Lord Jesus standing before the Father as our advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, pleading our case and standing for us in our lives. Do you have the Lord Jesus as your advocate? You know, it's not a light thing to sin as a believer. We have a tendency to take it for granted. But Jesus Christ had to die on Calvary's cross. He had to shed his blood. He lived a perfect life that he could be our perfect sacrifice so that he can stand before God the Father in our behalf. The writer of Hebrews says he was tempted in all points like as we. Therefore, it says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find help in the time of need. Jesus Christ, our advocate, the one who is pleading our cause, our case for before us, before God the Father. What a tremendous privilege that is that we have. And if today you do not have that privilege of Jesus Christ being your advocate, why don't you trust him today as your Savior? Turn from going your own way. Maybe for the first time you have to admit that even though you're a good person, really you are a terrible sinner. And you've transgressed the law of God. Maybe just the fact that you refuse to accept Christ is showing you the hardness of your own heart and your need of Jesus. Won't you today come to Jesus Christ? Don't be ashamed of him. He is the only one that can stand before God the Father on your behalf and mine. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Lord, we admit that the significance of his advocacy has not been certainly presented as it ought to be this morning. But Lord, we do pray for that simple truth that without Jesus as our advocate, we are lost, forsaken, helpless, Lord, condemned. And we thank you that, Lord, that we today even have one who is pleading our case before God the Father, one who loves us, and one, Lord, who is righteous. Help us to comprehend this great truth, Lord, for that believer today that has had the wrong attitude about sin. I pray that, Lord, that they would be convicted of a dim, low attitude of what Jesus did for them, and having a low attitude about view of sin when they should realize how horrible it is, and that we should be living to obey you, to serve you, to honor you, to please you in all that we do. And so, Lord, while heads are bowed, might right now that lost sinner cry out to thee for your mercy and cry out for Jesus to save them. I pray, Lord, for that believer who's become careless about sin, might they see how sin has blinded them, taken over their soul in the wrong way. I pray for that person, Lord, that shows that they really haven't been saved by their flippant attitude about right and wrong. And that, Lord, that they don't really truly know you as a holy God. And Lord, might even this day we think of little things in our life that they too can break fellowship with you. Might we confess them. Might we turn to you to have a walk that is pleasing unto the Lord Jesus. May it be so, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.